Let us pray. Almighty God, as we receive your word today through the scriptures, open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, and our very lives to your living presence, so that we may love you best of all and follow you. Amen. Well, what to preach on this, my first Sunday among you? Well, the set gospel reading seemed a great place to start. To begin with that account of the transfiguration of our Lord on the mountaintop. Matthew 17, verse 1 and 2, tell how Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. This morning I want to draw out three aspects of this mysterious experience, showing how it impacted upon his disciples, and three points that will speak to us today as his disciples. Firstly, Peter, James, and John were captivated by his glory. They were captivated by his glory. We can only imagine what a glorious sight this was. Over the years, many artists have tried to portray this moment of transfiguration, the dazzling glory of Jesus, shining in his perfect humanity and his perfect divinity. But having looked at some of these images online, they all seem unreal and fanciful. They seem to capture Jesus as if he's wrapped in a bedsheet, bouncing off a trampoline. It seems so surreal. But this wasn't a surreal moment. It was real. It was a moment of revelation. It wasn't a hallucination. It was the real Jesus revealing his true nature. And it's probably best that it's left to our imagination. What was happening to Jesus? No explanation is given in the accounts. But clearly, this is a revelation of Jesus's identity. One writer describes it like this. He describes how the disciples watched the wheels of nature stop and heaven break in. Jesus, their friend of every day, the face they knew as his. They saw for one half hour the way he always is. The disciples, up until that point, thought that they knew Jesus well. But there was more to be revealed. Here was an unveiling of Jesus' nature. Fully human, fully divine. This dazzling moment looks back in time to before Jesus' incarnation, when he was in the form of God. And this moment looks forward in time to his glorious resurrection body. And here, the splendor of Jesus, the uncontained majesty and glory, or as much of it as Peter, James, and John were able to take in, was revealed. They were captivated by his glory. Friends, we know, Scripture tells us in Hebrews 13, verse 8, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the reason that you and I are here this morning is that we have been captivated by our Lord. We have been captivated by his glory. He has won our hearts. He has called us by name. We have left everything to follow him. To follow him on a sometimes rocky uphill climb, like it was for those disciples. And we are his witnesses. We have seen a glimpse of his glory. Yes, we have seen more clouds than glory. We live by faith and not by sight. But we have seen enough of the glory of Jesus to have been caught up in his love, in his life, in his purposes for us. Caught up in his mercy and grace. We have seen enough. And yet we have not seen enough. Like Peter, James, and John, we think we know him well. But there is always more to be revealed. And it's my hope and prayer that we shall see more of his glory in our lives, starting with me. As heaven touches earth, that we will be more and more captivated by his love, our first love, our all in all. That we would prefer him to all other things. And we know there are many in our town, children, teenagers, men and women, who are longing for a glimpse of his glory, hungry for his love. They are our mission field. So here on the mountaintop stands Jesus, transfigured before them, with Moses and Elijah side by side. Moses representing the Old Testament law and Elijah representing the prophets. Jesus standing there in the midst, fulfilling both the Old Testament law and the prophets, outshining both Moses and Elijah. Jesus is greater than even these greats. And Peter, with his impulsive nature, wants to capture the moment. Lord, it's good for us to be here, he says. And I found myself saying just those words over these past few weeks. It's good to be here in Haverhill. And Peter went on, Lord, it's good for us to be here, and if you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. He wants to hold on to this moment. If he'd had his mobile phone with him, he would have tried to take a group selfie to to hold that moment. He wanted to build these three shelters or tabernacles so that they could celebrate together. Peter's intentions were good, but he was misguided. And even as he is speaking, the cloud of God's presence, his awe and majesty, descended upon that mountaintop. And Peter's attention was refocused, and his rambling was silenced. And as the cloud descends, the Father speaks from heaven, words of affirmation and love over Jesus. "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Words that were once spoken at the outset of his ministry at his baptism were repeated again here, as Jesus sets his face to the completion of his earthly ministry, setting his face to Jerusalem, setting his face to combat those ruling authorities, just as Moses and Elijah had done in their day. Setting his face to the cross and the conclusion of his work of salvation and deliverance, this new Exodus. Jesus stands there as a new Moses, a new Elijah, and he must have been strengthened and affirmed by his Father's voice. Peter, James, and John were commanded to listen. And this is the second point. We are commanded to listen to him at all times. And this is what I know I must do on the outset of my time among you. I need to listen. I need to listen to you, to hear about your lives, to hear about your journey with God. I know I need to listen so that I get to know you. And I need to listen to God. I need to listen to God in order to understand and not just to reply. Think of tuning in to a radio station. We need to tune in to God. I need to tune in to this church. I need to tune in to Haverhill. What are the hopes and fears of our town and its people? I know I need to listen. Do you? Are you listening? Amid the busyness and the needs and the many voices clamoring for our attention, let us listen for that still, small voice of calm, of God speaking within us. God is still speaking. He has more to say to you. Listen to him. Listen for his call. When we listen, we understand his purposes. We are about to begin our journey through Lent, Ash Wednesday next week. Lent is a good time to listen, to retune to God. When we listen, we will realize through Lent that the way to be master is to be servant. The way to get up is to get down. The way to receive is to give. The way to be rich is to be poor. The way to be wise is to be a fool for Christ. The way to be exalted is to lower ourselves. The way to live is to die a little every day. This is the topsy-turvy way of his kingdom. We are commanded to listen to him. And as the disciples listened to him, listened to that voice, they fell to the ground and they were overcome by fear. The voice of the Holy God thundered above them. The God of cloud and glory enveloped them and consumed them. Would they perish, zapped by the finger of the Almighty? No. Jesus may be the Lion of Judah, but he is also the gentle Lamb of God. And Jesus came to them as they were face down in the dust. He gently touched them with his hand, and he lifted them. He said to them, "Get up." Get up. And that's a resurrection word in the Bible. Get up. Arise. Do not be afraid. They were comforted by his touch. And that's my third and final point. Perhaps you come this morning needing that comforting touch of our Lord. We might, like those disciples, be overcome and overwhelmed with fears, all enveloping fears that knock us off our feet, that paralyze us and would keep us down. Like those disciples, we may shrink from God. We may be afraid of his displeasure. Maybe that we've done something or feel something that God is angry with us and we must hide our faces. The good news is that Jesus comes to us as he came to those disciples. He gently touches us and raises us with his lifting hand. That we might know that he loves us and cares for us. That we may hear his comforting word and receive his peace in our troubles and our fears. And that's what he'll do for us this morning, however we come. Whether we've got our head in the clouds or our face in the dust, Jesus meets us and lifts us. Puts us back on our feet today. He bears our burdens. Whatever life has taken from you, he has so much more that he wants to give you. I'm reminded of these words of an old Salvation Army hymn by Annie Johnson Flint. He gives more grace as our burdens grow greater. He sends more strength as our labors increase. To added afflictions, he adds his mercy. To multiplied trials, he multiplies peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed, though the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving has only begun. His love has no limits, his grace has no measure. his power no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he gives and he gives and he gives again. Hallelujah. What a wonderful Saviour we serve. Don't go home from here this morning without receiving his touch upon your life. Let him minister to your need. Receive his comfort. Hear his affirming voice. Do not be afraid. You are my beloved daughter, my beloved son. With you I am well pleased. And with the gentle power of his lifting hand, you will be able to go down from this Sunday morning mountaintop to the Monday morning valley. It's good for us to be here, but not to stay here. Returning to our duties and immersing ourselves in the ordinary things of life is what we must do. But we do so with shining, radiant faces. We go with Jesus. Jesus, who went down from this mountaintop, re-energized and reaffirmed, able now to give his all for what lay ahead. From the Mount of Transfiguration to the Mount of Olives, to the Mount of Calvary and beyond, down into the darkest valley of suffering and death, even to the depths of hell, and back again. As we receive bread and wine this morning, as we feed on his living presence, may we rejoice that we have been captivated by his glory, commanded to listen, and comforted by his touch. And let's be encouraged that though we must go through the valley, one day we shall be lifted up to the heights above, where we shall see his glory and his splendor, and gaze on his beauty forever. Amen. Let us pray. A moment of quiet as we respond to God's word to us this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you hear our prayer. Help us to continue to respond to you by your Spirit. Amen.